There are a number of old skills that our ancestors used to have to remain self-sufficient on the land and in the home. But for the most part, many of those skills have not been passed down. My next guest brings them back to life and in a very engaging way. And he's with us to offer tips for you and I to be more resourceful, including the art of barter. How about trade and dickering? Caleb Warnock is the author of More Forgotten Skills of Self-Sufficiency. And Caleb, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm excited to be with you and your listeners today.
It's really great to have you along. This is your second book on self-sufficiency. But after writing your first book, you say many people have confused self-sufficiency or for preparedness. What's the difference?
Well, for me, the preparedness is something that you will do later, but self-reliance or self-sufficiency is something that you do every day to save money, to make your life easier, to simplify your life. So some people practice preparedness by purchasing things that they want to use when what I like to call the zombie apocalypse happens. But at our house, we try to be self-reliant every day by practicing some of these old skills.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. And as you listen, what do you do to remain self-sufficient? Have you successfully traded or bartered with somebody? I know already on our Facebook page, there are some notes coming up, and I'll bet Cynthia will have some up for me to take. Yes, she's shaking her head. Yeah, I'll get some of those up right now. You have some questions about becoming more self-sufficient? I hope you'll join in. Caleb's got lots of great information here. The number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Really appreciate hearing from you. And I really appreciate your writing style is very straightforward and the number of great examples that you use to get your points across.
Thank you. I try to have a no-nonsense approach. So we don't want to waste people's time. We don't want to waste my time. I just want to, I think there's been a resurgence of interest in being more self-reliant since the economy crashed in 2008. And a lot of people are really wondering what they can do to make their life simpler and more affordable.
I'm sure people will wonder, gosh, does it have a place in our economy? How do we barter? That's the question I think that a lot of people would have.
Well, I think it comes down to a few basic rules. You can't go to your grocery store and ask for a discount. I mean, there's the right time and a right place and a wrong time and a wrong place. And to make it easy, I think you just start with the people around you. If you need something done, if you need a service, then maybe you have something that you can trade for that. And you start by asking the people that you know, the people that you have relationships with, and that's been very successful for my wife and I.
We have a Facebook comment from Jeannie, an old friend of mine. Who used to work here, as a matter of fact. I'm in many art fairs, and I do lots of trading of my wearable art clothing for beautiful jewelry, ceramics, small paintings, stained glass work, and more. That way I get to meet other artists. We have fun swapping, and I accumulate gifts for friends, family, and myself. And then she goes on to say, my dad used to have a drugstore in a small Wisconsin town, and he was always trading medicines for fresh vegetables, a side of beef or pork or what have you. She says, I love the barter trade system.
What those two examples have in common is that they both own their own business. And that's one of the keys when you're trying to dicker or barter or trade is that you need to work with someone who has the authority to make a decision on lowering the price for you or trading something for you. You don't want to go to a national chain and try to barter because obviously the cashier at a national chain does not have the authority to change the price. But if you're working with someone who owns their own business or provides their own craft work, then you are much more likely to be able to say to them, hey, let's make a beneficial trade here. I have this and you have this, or I really would like this. These are the services that I have or the things that I have. What can we do to benefit each other?
Yeah, and you have so many great examples. Maybe you could give us give our listeners an example of a trade or that bartering that you've done.
Well, just in the last few months, I have built a brand new solar thermal greenhouse with wood that was completely donated. It was given to me, and there's lots of sites around where you can go to get free things like freecycle.com or book groups on Facebook where people are just giving stuff away that they have in their life that they don't need anymore. These things have become very popular. Another example is that there was someone who wanted to come to one of my forgotten skills classes and they couldn't afford it, and they asked me if I would make a deal with them to trade them for a $1,000 digital SLR camera, which in the end I got for about $150, and they got to come to some of my classes. So these are just a couple of examples of what I've done recently.
Yeah, those are great examples. Vivian in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I wanted to comment that I've always looked for ways to barter, but people don't have to have a product. For instance, in my neighborhood, I had some neighbors went out of town for a wedding. I dog sat, which I've traded for snow throwing. I'm at a point where that's a difficult thing for me to do, my age and my ability. And then I moved to this house 10 years ago. I needed air conditioning installed. I bartered that against a week at my cabin. So you don't have to produce things, but if, like the gentleman said, if you look around with people you know, it works really well for all of them.
Oh, that's a great point. Caleb, a comment?
Well, I would like to trade for a week in your cabin. I'll start by saying that. I think that's a very real and valid point. You don't have to have a product. If you have some kind of a service or even a property like that, there are online sites where people are trading a week in their condo in Hawaii for dental work or for construction work on their house. And I do also want to note that what she said is very true. You start with the people that you know, because there might be people out there who are shady or trying to make a deal that's not a legitimate deal. So I don't think anyone needs to be nervous about getting into bartering or trading or dickering. You literally start with your neighborhood, the people that you know, and that makes it easier for people who have never tried to do this before or never thought that maybe this was possible. For a lot of people, they think, well, bartering, isn't that something they do in third world countries? Well, no. People who are really looking to get the most out of their money are doing that every single day, just as our guest here showed us.
Yeah, absolutely. Vivian, thank you. Great ideas. You're a resourceful person. That's for sure. And those are good. I mean, gee, having somebody take care of your dog or your cats while you're away, that's actually worth quite a bit of money and peace of mind as well. We had Patrick writing on Facebook who was talking about self-sufficiency and gardening and canning, Patrick says, are worth every second we spend. My wife and I are the only millennials who I know who can. It's such a reward to open a quart of tomatoes in February and taste summer.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And thank goodness for these younger people that are starting to do this. One of the concerns that I have, and I give a lot of speeches and I say to the audience, I don't, and I do this with love, I say, I don't care about you. The people that I care about are the children and the grandchildren, because there are still some of us, myself included, who had these living examples of parents and great-grandparents who knew and lived this self-reliant lifestyle every day, and we're not passing that down as well as we should be. So these young people who are doing this, who are showing the upcoming generations, that's going to be such a blessing in their life, as opposed to families who are teaching their children the fine art of living on the credit card.
And in your book, as I should point out, or we should point out, that in your book you have several chapters that are related to gardening.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, I write other books that are about gardening, too. And we eat from our garden every single day, 365 days a year, even in the middle of winter. This is just the way it has been done for thousands of years, and it really is almost a lost art.
Yeah. You, we've talked, dickering has come up as an art, and there is an art to it. But before we get to that, I want to go to John in Green Bay, who had asked a question about tax liabilities. Is there a tax liability when it comes to bartering? Obviously, if people are trading and borrowing, there are no taxes collected on these transactions.
Well, I would say ask your tax professional. That's what I would say. don't take my advice on taxes. Get a tax, find out from your tax professional.
All right. Let's talk about dickering. What's the art of dickering?
Well, dickering is simply being willing to ask for a lower price, if you put it that simply. You just say to somebody, you're offering this for this price. I'm interested in purchasing this, but I need it to be this lower price, and can we negotiate this?
And for some people, that's really hard to do.
Well, you have to start where you're in your comfort zone with the people that you know. Let me give you an example. I teach a cold frame gardening class every August, where the people come to my home and we build cold frames, and everyone goes home with a cold frame for winter gardening, fresh winter gardening. And you can do that with glass, or you can do that with a kind of special plastic called twin wall polycarbonate. Twin wall polycarbonate is very difficult to come by, and it's quite expensive. So what I have done is gone to the best producers in the nation and negotiated a group purchase for anybody who wants to buy in, so that we can, and we have every year the lowest price on twin wall polycarbonate in the nation, simply because we have so many people that are willing to purchase at one time. And that is one of the ways that you can get started in doing this, is by purchasing in bulk. There are around the country local groups, including where I live and pretty much everywhere, where people will organize a group purchase of, for example, organic raw honey.
Mm-hmm.
They'll organize once a year a group purchase, and they'll get a great discount because there's a whole bunch of people purchasing in a local area from a local grower.
Wonderful, wonderful tips. And we're going to talk some more with Caleb Warnock about his book, and he's got some really, really cool ways to save and some really cool ideas. And we'll talk about them right after this look at the news. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, sharing some age-old skills and advice for becoming more resourceful and more self-sufficient and saving money. My guest, Caleb Warnock, author of More Forgotten Skills of Self-Sufficiency, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. What do you do to remain self-sufficient? Have you traded or bartered with somebody? Let me talk about it. Do you have suggestions for becoming more self-sufficient or saving money? I'm telling you, Caleb came up with, I just slapped my head a couple of times as I was reading some of his suggestions for saving money, and dish soap comes to mind right away. I thought, oh my goodness me, I had never thought of his uses for dish soap, and I'm sure you're going to have some fun hearing about it as well. Al on Facebook said the old technology can be constantly useful. I use all kinds of knots and hitches and lashings on the farm. Rope and cordage have been with us probably forever, and they're still mighty handy. The Ashley Book of Knots is a great source of the old and still helpful uses for rope and cordage of all sorts. And I bet you'd agree with that, Caleb.
Absolutely. Anything that we can do to do ourselves is going to save us money. That's what it basically comes down to. So if you can find a solution or create a solution yourself, then you're going to be that much better off. We just heard on the NPR news break about how college tuition is going up. That's just another example of how our world is getting more expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mentioned dish soap. And I thought, oh my goodness me, when you talked about using dish soap in a dishwasher.
This is something anybody can do. Your listeners can do this starting immediately today. At our house for years, we have used liquid dishwashing soap in our dishwashing machine to wash the dishes. It's far, far cheaper than using the specially prepared powder or liquid soap for a dishwasher. And basically they have the same ingredients in them. And your listeners can try this on their own and see that it works just as well to use the very inexpensive liquid dishwashing soap in your dishwashing machine.
Yeah, and only a lot less in terms of the amount that you put in.
A fraction of the cost. Yeah. It costs less, and you use just a small amount. If you have the concentrated kind of liquid dishwashing soap, then you're using a few drops. If it's not the concentrated kind, then you might use a half a teaspoon. Yeah. Very simple to do. Everyone can start doing that today.
And you can, for a dollar, as you say, bucks worth of dish soap, you can save yourself a lot of money.
Yeah, you can do 100 loads on your dishwasher with a dollar's worth of dish soap from the dollar store.
Richard and Ettrick, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, Larry. Great show today. I'd just like to pass on, my wife and I have been self-sufficient folks for a number of years. We have a cow, a milk cow. We use to make our own butter, cheese, yogurt, and then we barter the yogurt for honey from a neighbor. A big garden, heat our house with wood. We like to forage in the spring for mushrooms and ramps and other wild edibles, and we pass this on to our children, so they're kind of in the same thing now.
Oh,
so,
man. Caleb, comment?
Great lifestyle.
Yeah.
I love that, and I have to say to you that your children are going to grow up to be the people who help save the world. Mm-hmm. Your children are going to grow up to be the people who are there to help the people who are sick from eating an unnatural diet, for people who have financial problems. I mean, it's these kinds of people who know how to work, who know how to provide for themselves, who are going to be the rising generation of leadership for this country, and so I'm so thrilled to hear those kinds of stories.
Yeah. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate your call very much. We had Aaron on our Facebook page writing in to say, my husband and I have a group of friends who all garden, can, and we even make mead and wine. We have seed exchanges in the early spring, wine tastings, and recipe trading. It makes these skills even more worthwhile and entertaining and fun.
To do them socially, absolutely. And in my first Forgotten Skills book, I explained to everyone the importance of keeping our food supply in the public domain by bartering and keeping alive these heirloom seeds. So many of our seed varieties have become corporate-owned, and they've been changed into genetically modified or hybridized seeds. So that kind of seed exchange and that kind of keeping of those seed lines alive is very, very important.
Is it harder to be self-sufficient? We talk about self-sufficiency. Is it harder to be self-sufficient in the winter when things aren't growing?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And there is no time when things are not growing. A lot of people are very surprised. You can go to type YouTube Caleb Warnock into Google, and you can see a video of my backyard fresh gardening. In January, when it was 17 degrees below zero, I have a very popular book called Backyard Winter Gardening. I have a whole book about how to use natural yeast and health benefits and books about seasons. And really, in the winter, it's the most luxurious time of the year because you're just eating the harvest and you don't have to worry about the heat, you don't have to worry about the watering, you don't have to worry about the weeds. You can just make fantastic food.
Yeah, and you can do that at your place. We had a little interruption in sound there for a minute, so we missed, but you have things growing when it's 17 degrees outside, below zero.
17 below zero, and that's the way it has been done for thousands of years. That's almost a completely lost art. My wife and I believe that we're the last family to grow an extensive backyard winter garden in the United States, but since my backyard winter gardening book came out, there have been a lot more people who have started doing this, and they send me photos and videos, and it's been really exciting.
Oh, that's great. Basically, what are you doing to achieve that?
Well, the most important thing, there's several methods, but the most important thing is that you have to have the right seed. And the seed for growing vegetables in the middle of the winter is almost completely extinct from the earth because people have stopped growing it. And I offer free seed at seedrenaissance.com to anyone who would like to try these backyard winter gardening skills, and also free natural yeast for anyone who would like to try to make bread the way that it was made for thousands of years before we modified yeast in the 1980s.
So, and again, your site, I believe we have a link to on my Facebook page, but again, your site is?
Seedrenaissance.com.
Seedrenaissance.com.
And you can just click on the free offer tab, and you can get free seed or free natural yeast, which is totally different from the modified yeast in the grocery store that no longer digests gluten and makes people sick.
You have you talk about a number of things in your book about ways to save money, and you talk about toothpaste, for example.
We make our own toothpaste. We have done for years. We use it every day. It's very easy. You can, you know, make homemade powdered laundry detergent once a year and use it every day. You can make toothpaste once a year and use it every day at a vast discount, and it's very good for you. And it, you know, we like to check things off of the list of what do we no longer have to purchase at the store. What can we do to make the list of things that we must purchase from the store smaller and smaller?
Yeah, it's interesting. One that I remember from your book is how do we cut our clothes drying bill and time in half?
When I was growing up, there was still, at that point, a lot of people were hanging their laundry out to dry, but nobody does that anymore for lots of different reasons. But my grandmother, bless her soul, is the one who gave me this tip, and that is simply, if you have denim, just let that air dry in your house, and simply removing a pair of jeans from your dryer can cut the rest of the time it takes to dry the rest of the load in half, because denim is such a heavy water absorbent fabric. It takes twice as long to dry a load of laundry with denim in it than it does without.
Oh, very, very interesting. Keith in Delavan pointed out, or says, there's a collection of books called, he said the Boxfire books, but I think it's the Foxfire books, if I'm not mistaken, with collected stories from people who had tips for, you know, a lot of different things, and you may well be aware of those books.
And they have some real forgotten skills in the Foxfire books, like how to cut up your pig and stuff like that.
Yeah, I tell a story once in a while. Back in the day when Wisconsin Public Radio was just getting started, there was a farm program on the air, and the farm director said that butchering a pig was beginning to be a lost art, and they actually butchered a pig on radio.
Wow.
Cut it up and explained how to do it on Wisconsin Public Radio. That would have probably been around 1930, would have been my guess, somewhere in there.
We do harvest our own chickens. Not everybody wants to do that, but we do harvest our own chickens. But harvesting a pig or a cow, you have to have some real muscle to do that.
Yeah. By the way, you talk about chicken. You have in terms of bartering and so forth, you found a way to collect some chickens in the fall and send them back out in the spring.
Well, across the nation, there has been a real interest in backyard eggs. And a lot of people are trying to raise chickens for the first time in their lives, and they really enjoy that during the summer. But then chickens, naturally, their egg length drops off right around now in November and December. And so people are like, well, why, you know, we don't, if they don't know how to feed their chickens self-sufficiently, which we do, then they have to buy the feed and they have to go out in the snow and feed them or whatever. And so they get less interested and they look around to see if anybody wants to take their chickens. So I take their chickens in the fall and then feed them for free all winter long and then sell them in the spring.
So good deal for everybody.
That's right.
We're talking today with Caleb Warnock. He's the author of a few books. This one, the one we're talking about today, is More Forgotten Skills of Self-Sufficiency. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page, at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You've got one that I'm going to try because I've a silencer for squeaky drawers.
And it works. It works amazingly well. You will be astonished.
I looked at that and I thought, you know, just this morning, as a matter of fact, when I was opening up that drawer, it was squeaking away, and I thought, how the heck am I going to quit that, make those drawers stop squeaking? And here we go with a little wax of some sort, and beeswax or whatever. And
it needs to be pure beeswax.
It needs not to be just, pure beeswax?
It needs to be pure beeswax, not just any wax. It must be pure beeswax. Mm-hmm. And you can get pure beeswax at any health food store.
Pure beeswax. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm going to be getting some pure beeswax. Oh, my gosh. What about, you have some advice for making non-toxic household cleaners as well.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different things that are listed in the book. Everything from cleaning scorched pans to cleaning off upholstery and oxygen, homemade oxygen stain cleaners, porcelain cleaners, crayon eraser, that kind of stuff. Just stuff that, you know, people have learned over the years from experience that I've tried to share with people.
Yeah, there's a lot. There are a lot of really cool tips in there. And then I thought one of the other chapters that I liked a lot was buying old and reliable. And you talk about some of the things that you've been able to purchase for or barter for little or nothing that really are great old things to have.
And I can give you a great example of that because last week I was teaching a medicinal herb class. We practice herbal medicine at our house, and I was teaching a large medicinal herb class and showing people how to make a medicinal green smoothie from backyard ingredients. And I was at a fancy store giving this class, and they had one of those $600 blenders. You know, I can't believe that anyone pays $600 for a blender to begin with. But they had one of those $600 blenders that we were making this medicinal green smoothie with. And I have a 40-year-old blender that I got from a thrift store, almost 2 decades ago. I got it from a thrift store for like $4. And it has the same metal gears in it that the $600 blender has. And it makes the smoothie faster than the $600 blender. So that's just one example of buying old and reliable. We have a 40-year-old vacuum cleaner at our house that we just paid $75 to have service because it will last another 100 years on $75. And you can go to the store and buy a $100 plastic vacuum cleaner, and it will last a couple of years, and then you'll have to buy a new one. There's lots of ways that we can use things that are old that were built to last as opposed to being built to essentially fail today.
I have some pots and pans that I bought, and the cast iron pans. I don't know that I've ever bought a new one. I think I bought many, at garage sales for a buck or something.
Yes. Yes, garage sales are a great place to get canning jars for super cheap prices, kitchen knives and kitchen equipment, and estate sales. I love to go to estate sales. And last year I went to a garage sale, and I got about $200 worth of KitchenAid appliances for about $30. Just, it's crazy sometimes what you can find there.
Alex on Facebook wrote in and said, I used Craigslist for spare cash until the economy crashed and people stopped buying boats and campers and motorcycles and so forth at will. Now I don't have the time to because I need to work long hours to make a decent living. But Craigslist is a new media to an old trade.
And there is a Wisconsin bartering group on Craigslist where you can list things for free, either services that you have to offer or things that you want to trade something for or things that you are looking for, like you need something and will someone trade you, right there in Wisconsin. So it's easy to do.
Yeah. Websites, aside from Craigslist, what are some of the other, and you talk about them in your book, other websites and resources that are available for people who want to barter or trade?
Well, UXchange is a group that or a website that has a Wisconsin-specific following, and also anybody can log into their Facebook account and find local barter and trade groups in their county on Facebook.
It's really something. In our neighborhood where I live, in fact, the dresser that I was talking about this morning, I was walking. I do a little 3 mile walk in the mornings, and it was out on the curb. And you know the culture in our community is if you've got you want to let somebody have something, you just put it out on the curb, and it's amazing how quickly things disappear. But I've been using that dresser, and it's a great one for a long time, just because I picked it up for free right off the street.
And you know, all it takes is a little creativity. The comment from the last person that you just read talked about having to work so much to earn a living. And this summer, my little 8-year-old grandson wanted to earn some cash, and so we went around and took things like you were talking about, things that people are giving away for free, pieces of furniture, and then we spent time together working in the garage, refurbishing these things, painting them, staining them, making them look new, and then sold them for 4 or 5 times what, if we had paid $10, we sold them for $50 because he wanted to earn some money and spend some time with me this summer. It just takes a little creativity.
It does. Randy in Kewaskum, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. You were talking about beeswax a little while ago. Well, you take if you take beeswax and combine it with any kind of lard or oil, for those of you that butcher or those of you that hunt, you mix a little beeswax with rendered deer fat, or what's even better yet, if you bear hunt or know somebody that bear hunts, if you render bear fat, leave it sit, the bear oil that separates out, that stays liquid, is a great lubricant. In the past, it was used as a lubricant. I still use it on my flintlock rifles. And you take any kind of fat, and you have to play with the proportions. You mix it with beeswax. It's phenomenal as a leather dressing. It works great for gun stocks or any kind of wood as a protectant long-term, because beeswax gives it longevity. You can also use it for protecting metal.
Well, there you go.
I love that. You know what I love most about that is that when we start this kind of conversation, which you have done here on this radio show today, Larry, mm-hmm. then we start to learn that there are people out there who have knowledge that, you know, should be available. And I hope that you will write that information down or share that with your children, teach it to somebody else. I encourage anybody who has forgotten skills to teach, so that the next generations will have this information.
Well, Randy, thank you so much. It is really a great tip, and why not? It's Brandy wrote that being self-sufficient is so important, and we should do what we can. Not everybody is lucky enough to own land where we can plant our crops. Clearly, I can't harvest things in my apartment, but I can do things with potted edible plants that that can grow in small spaces, and you do talk about that in your book.
I talk about this in my book, and this is one of the most important things, because I did this when I was a student in college. I've done this in condos, and right now we have worked our way up to where we live on an acre of property, and I don't believe that people should think that they cannot do this. One of the simplest things that you can do to bless someone else's life is wherever you live, whatever space you live in, if you do not have access to your own property, then go to a neighbor who does. Introduce yourself. These are often elderly couples. Introduce yourself and tell them that you would love to plant a garden, do the work if they will provide the land and the water, and you will split the harvest with them.
Oh, and you know what? And here we are out of time. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for being with us today, Caleb. And I've got your book up on our Facebook page. Caleb Warnock is the author of More Forgotten Skills of Self-Sufficiency. We'll have to have him back. Thank you for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.